This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday. How we doing?
We doing good. Look at you, back at the saddle again. You're never going to leave it.
Yeah, I am tomorrow.
No, you're not leaving it.
Yep. I'm going to be out for quite a while. I got like a business to get done.
You got brand man things to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, Nemec came in. It was a thank you to Andrew Nemec for coming in.
Shout out to Andrew.
Shout outs to Andrew Nemec and his crazy little backyard that he has. He has pictures. He lives backed up to a wetlands. He had like all these pictures of the wildlife creatures, the little woodlands creatures in his backyard. He had like rabbits and deers and all those things coming out. Yesterday was hot. Today,
not.
We go back.
Boy, does it
see,
suck.
This is how it's going to go. Tomorrow, hot again. I love this. This is where Oregon makes its money. All right, it just teases you, confuses you. You're not sure what to expect. I'm here for all of it. Big congratulations, my alma mater, Southern Oregon. The Lady Raiders winning the national championship in softball today. Hey! 3 hours of it. 3 hours of it. Lady Raiders, 4 softball titles since 2019. Dynasty.
Oh, wow.
In Ashland. Yeah. Oregon gets underway in the Women's College World Series with UCLA tonight, 6:30. Look, we could be... Is this like a... baseball softball state that we're living in right now?
Turns out.
Because Oregon State in the hosting regionals on the baseball side. You got the Duck women in the Women's College World Series. Southern wins the title. In the semifinals, they beat Eastern Oregon in the softball. And then on top of that, last night, history happened in the NAIA baseball title. LSU Shreveport won. They went 57-0.
Is that good?
That's really good. That's really good. They went 57-0 on the season. They are coached by Brad Neffendorf, who is an Oregonian.
There you go.
His dad is like a legendary girls basketball coach at Glencoe and Westview, Bend, and then he was the AD at Tigard, or principal at Tigard. Principal at Tigard? But the Neffendorf family, deep roots here in the state of Oregon. And Brad Neffendorf, Oregonian, 57-0.
It's a pretty good run.
That's a good season.
Yeah.
That's a good game of baseball.
That's so hard because there's so much randomness and so much variability in baseball. Yeah. Like, you hit a ball a millimeter this way, you know, you catch a weird hop this way. Like, the fact that they won every game is bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... baseball, even the best baseball teams of all time in Major League Baseball. What are the Mariners, 117 wins?
116. Yeah.
Like, that's still, what, 50 losses? 40 losses? 40 losses? Like, you're still, like, you're going to pick up some...
46?
Yeah, you're still going to pick up some losses.
That, like, it's crazy to think about. Like, that means your pitching staff was nails all season long. Your bats never went cold. You didn't just have a weird day where baseball just goes all baseball on you, and you have a round ball with a round bat, and you're trying to square it up. No, you go 57-0. That's nuts. So I don't care who you are or what level it is. That's hard to do.
Yeah. That, over that many games. Look, if you're talking about like you're doing high school, and it's like a, what is it, 26 or 28 games or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because you can have such like wild disparities in a game. Like you could have a team that has Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford on it.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Cool. Like you can see that because when you get to the like upper echelons, whether it's baseball or softball, when somebody's that much better, you know, you get a Bryce Harper on your team or whatever, mm-hmm. you get a Jenny Finch on your team at Arizona. It's like, yeah, okay.
Well, in softball, you have one pitcher, she can pitch every game.
Yeah, forever. Yeah, you can just dominate.
But natural like, throwing motion.
But 57-0 is bonkers. So shout out to those guys. That's
shout
out
to LSU Shreveport. Did not know it was a school.
No, I didn't either.
No. No. No clue. No clue. And I went and I was like, all right, because I knew Brad growing up. And so I looked up his record there is 268-49.
Wow.
I was like, he's probably going to get some big jobs calling his way, right?
How'd he lose the other 49?
I don't know. He's got a good thing rolling there.
Good Lord.
He's got good, but that's like, you know, at these small schools, a lot of these folks, they realize grass isn't always greener. Like, SOU's coach, she got won a national title, went down, got a big job, and I don't know, she's like somewhere, I don't know, D2, D1, AA type school. Mm. She's like, nah, I'm coming back. And they just like find your niche at your small school. You know you're just gonna have great teams. You find your role, you find the people that fit in the area, and you can just create a machine.
It's not a bad way to go about it.
Linfield football.
Yeah.
You know, like...
How many undefeated seasons in a row?
No, it's winning seasons.
Winning,
and I think they're at... I don't know. Isn't it in the, some Linfield person will
know. Is it in
know.
Like 30s?
No. It's like... It might be in the 60s.
Is it that high? Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The Cat Dome people text in. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Yeah, they are... They are up to 68 consecutive winning
Good
seasons.
Lord.
Streak began in 1956.
How many different coaches?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite, but actually not as many as you would think.
But still, I mean, like...
Because I think it may have started with Paul Durham, then went to Ad Rutschman and Jay Losey, Joe Smith now.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm saying
probably
that's,
some
that's
others
multiple,
sprinkled in
that's
there.
Multiple eras, multiple coaches, multiple styles, multiple voices. Like,
yeah, they just dominate.
That's Steelers-esque.
I hate Linfield. But love the guys there. Love the guys there.
Now you and somebody else, you're on hate the text Linfield. Line. I dated a Linfield girl and she left me for a football player. No joke.
Well,
so at least two people. Hate
they win it more than football, I guess. Yeah.
give you good reasons to hate them.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I didn't know how this show got to where it is now, but here we are.
Oh, that's 3 years.
What? 3 years?
Yeah.
Oh,
how we get.
Yeah, well, yeah, that is true. That is true. All right. Ooh, this is a good text, too. When we were talking about 57-0 is impressive, the De La Salle High School football win streak, that was incredible.
Was it 119? 118, something like that?
Yeah.
I feel like it was in the one teens.
But then they were just pumping out D1 kids left and right.
Yeah.
Let's see. De La Salle football win streak. 151.
Oh, God. It got that high.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
You know.
Didn't they make a movie about that?
Well, not the win streak, but just kind of like, yeah, it had the guy from Passion of the Christ was in it.
Yeah.
Caviezel.
Jim Caviezel.
Yeah.
He was the head coach, right?
Yep. He was the head coach there. And then it had, you know, it went into... Oh, gosh, the Oregon commit who was tragically killed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, went into that whole thing. But, yeah. Could you know what the hard part is, though? What if you were on, like, that... Their win streak went from 1992 to 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to be on that 2014.
Right? You blew it!
Yeah, and the team they lost to was Bellevue. pretty good. Washington.
Yeah, I was
yeah. They were taking on all comers at that point. Yeah. Like Trident beat us, and somebody said, "All right," and they did.
Mm-hmm. And like they weren't playing cupcakes before that.
No,
I mean they were taking on the biggest teams in the country,
and that would suck. What if you're the worst school in that league?
Just getting, I mean, that league is loaded.
You're just getting absolutely hammered.
You're losing by 60 and 70. Like, yeah. those the schools in that league.
Their hands up, you're like, yeah, whatever, man.
It's a D1 pipeline.
Because there's got to be, even, like, we hear about all these great schools. Like, you know, right now, down in Texas, Duncanville High School is one of those where they have, like, a top three recruit every year in the country, and you're just like, golly, where these kids grow on trees down there? Well, there's got to be at least a team that has got normal high school kids on it that is just getting pumped every week, and that sucks for them. You know? Like, they don't got a shot. You're just sitting there, and you're getting thrown to the wolves every single week, and especially when you play a powerhouse like those teams. That would not be good. That would not be good at all. Terrence Kelly was the player's name. Hmm. Terrence Kelly. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll be damned. Hmm.
Okay. There you go.
There we go.
That's talking Concord, California high school sports.
We're talking, and the LSU Shreveport.
Yeah.
You know, 57-0. That's nuts.
That's bomb. Like, that.
What if.
Is 57-0 in softball / baseball?
That's baseball,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, is that more impressive than 150 in high school football? Just because
he's doing
of the
it in 1 year, because I don't of know, the 92 to 2004 is
it's nuts,
crazy.
But like the volatility of baseball,
yeah,
is just so crazy.
Yeah.
Where football, more often than not, the better team just wins.
Yeah, but 12 years and not having a down year,
yeah, oh yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
No, it is. It is. It, again, they're both insane. They're both insane. Like, baseball, yeah, though, is just...
Baseball's such a mental game. It's really hard.
So much more one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like, things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Are, so much more punishing.
Like, you're playing a three-game set against that team, and say it's, like, end of the regular season, and you're like, dude, we got beat, like, 10-0 the first two games. Can anybody throw a knuckleball?
Yeah, like, just...
We're just going to go out there and, hey, let's just try something.
You know, do you just start like doing all of the things? You're suicide squeezing, you're dropping bunts down, whatever.
Just to see if you can beat this juggernaut.
Trying to pop a steal here. Like, just you would think that at some point in time, some team they're playing is like, no, we're like, it doesn't matter what we do. We need to put a blemish on the record.
Yeah. No, nobody can. Can't be stopped.
Impressive.
All right. I didn't even get to what I wanted to get to here in this segment. So we're going to have to get to it at some point. I've been violated.
Oh.
Yep. I've been violated, and I don't know what to do about it.
Have you talked to somebody about it?
I have. I've talked to a few people about it. I'm about to talk to a lot more about it.
All right. It's a safe space.
But I don't know what the purpose was. We'll get to that next. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, 503-864-6326. That's the Fan text line. So last night, somebody broke into my wife and I's cars.
Did you shoot them?
No, because I didn't know. They didn't take anything. They just went through and removed everything out of the center console of our cars and put it on our seats. That's it. Like, they didn't go through the glove box.
That bothers me more.
That's an odd move.
It bothers me more. That doesn't sound like that.
And I don't know what they were doing.
Has anybody else in the neighborhood reported anything? Have you talked to any? Did you report it to the cops?
No. Because what are they going to do? They're not going to dust our car.
No.
And nothing was stolen.
But it's not a bad idea to.
There's nothing. Like, it was just like, damn. our Ring camera didn't pick anything up. We have neighbors who have cameras, and they're going through it and looking. They're retired, so they got a lot of time.
Yeah, you go.
So they're just going
to. Those are great people to have for neighbors.
Oh, they're great. They're awesome.
Yeah,
they're awesome. And if a mouse farts in our front yard, there's a floodlight that pops on.
Nice.
I love it. but they got their cameras like look right to where our cars are parked. So. And then our other neighbors, they got cameras, so we'll be able to see there. And we weren't able to find all of them or talk to all of them mm-hmm. this morning. But it's unsettling is the thing. It's like, what were you doing? What were you looking for? I had my sunglasses were in my car. They weren't visible from looking in. Nothing was. But they took my sunglasses out of where I keep them, and they just put them on my seat. They took everything out of the center console and just put it on the seat. Didn't go through the glove box. I don't know what they were doing.
Y'all want to buy some drugs?
No. Like, I would be shocked if that was the case.
I think maybe they were looking for, like, a checkbook. But who uses those? Not me.
My first thought...
Well, and yeah, I don't have them in my car.
Yeah. My first thought is... Typically with, you know, crimes of opportunity, the prowlers and stuff like that, they're just going to take whatever's valuable. So that I strike that away immediately.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a tweaker, they're going to take anything that's not nailed down, especially anything small that they can carry that could possibly sell. So it
right.
kind of takes care of that. This sounds like somebody either screwing with you in a very malicious way or mm-hmm. somebody trying to show you that they can get to your stuff.
Yeah.
And that's... That's scarier to me than somebody just getting into my car. Like, you're right. You're violated.
Yeah.
And like, that's where I go, like, the psychology of this stuff. Like, that bothers me more.
Yeah.
Like, take something.
Yeah. Like, at least then I'm like, oh, they took something. I have no idea. I have no clue. I have no idea what was...
No, were the doors unlocked or did they break windows?
No windows were broken. My car was locked, so I don't know how they got in there. My wife's, I don't know.
And yours is a new enough car where the coat hanger is probably difficult to do.
Sure, I'm not versed in breaking into cars, but you sound like you are. But here's the thing, is like you can go on YouTube and you can find anything on YouTube. Like, they could, when we have two different makes and models of cars, and, like, you can...
Have you seen what people are doing now?
No.
To get into cars?
Oh, like, the cloning?
Yeah, so what they do is they can put up an RF net
mm-hmm.
and block it and get the transmission. It's the right signal, scan for it, and grab it, and
yeah.
just steal your car. It's crazy. It's, and these aren't, like... the highest level car theft rings out there. Like this is what's happening for like run of the mill, like car theft rings. It's actually nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's making me want to go away from an electric key.
Go back to the old days.
It was weird. I was driving my Silverado. It's a 08, while I was having the Fusion worked on, and it's a turnkey. And the number of times I got in and just like pushed my foot on the brake and went to push a button. And I was like, nope, need my keys. I had to like, actually get them out of my pocket and start the truck. It was like, this is weird.
A couple of weeks ago, I was driving my buddy has a new Lincoln Navigator.
Hmm.
I couldn't figure out how to put it into drive because I'm sitting there. I turned the car on. And I was like, all right, got this. And I was like, oh boy. I was looking around everywhere.
Was it a dial?
It doesn't have, nope. I looked at the dial. They had a dial not to put the car into drive. I was like, how the hell do you put this thing into drive? And they had like four little buttons on the center console, like below where you change the radio and it's push button for each one. Like it had park, drive, neutral, reverse, four wheel. And I was like, that is very confusing for me.
Yeah.
And so when I got back, I was like, he's like, how was it? I'm like, well, once I got it into drive, he's like, oh, yeah, that was a doozy for you. Like, yeah, it could have been helpful. He's like, yeah, I just got used to it.
Yeah,
so.
Does that deploy the smoke screen, the spikes? Like, you know, it's like, the James Bond car.
It did. It looked like a Bond car or like the Batmobile where I can cast a net out the back. I have no clue what was going on
center.
Here. But that was one way you feel very old very quickly. Is like, how do I get this car in drive?
It took me forever to get used to the whole keyless thing.
Yeah.
It's still weird.
It's nice, though, because you always know if you have your keys.
You know what I just figured out the other day? Mm. Is that this thing comes out
and yeah, and you have a key. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, they should have told you that when you bought your car.
No, I didn't. I bought it from somebody used. Mm. It had, 4,000 miles on it. But yeah, I had no idea that was there.
Yeah. The text line is saying this happens a lot to people. Maybe if somebody has the stepbrothers theory, maybe you slept walk to the car and you did it. I mean, I don't think so. That'd be one hell of a video if our neighbors have that, though.
We had something similar-ish happen at our place years ago. I had a car that was dead and just kind of sat in the driveway, right, for a while. Mm-hmm. That we came to find out that at least one occasion, somebody had gotten in that thing and just slept in the car, in our driveway.
Interesting. Oh,
Crazy Mike and the boys?
Yeah, right. The soup kitchen.
Dirty Mike and the boys.
Dirty Mike, not Crazy Mike.
Here's
a note.
I got some good ones. If you have an iPhone, run the AirTag app on your phone to see if someone put one in your car so people can see if you're home or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
But why would they rummage through stuff and
throw you off the scent?
You just throw it. I'm not going to do store it under my seat.
Yeah. I never look there.
Amongst all the French fries.
What's happening here?
I keep nothing in my car. If you break into my car, you're going to find an empty energy drink, a golf tee, and a lacrosse stick. Enjoy. Oh, and some crutches.
Yeah.
If you break into my car, go ahead. It's unlocked. I don't care.
Hmm.
Just don't break the windows.
All right.
I'd rather somebody break into my car and steal my lacrosse stick out of the freaking trunk than break my windows. Just don't. I'd much rather have somebody just open the freaking door than lock my car and be worried about somebody busting out the windows. Because you know what it costs to get your freaking windows fixed now?
A lot.
It's like $500-$600 a window.
Yeah, it's not good, dude.
No.
All right. I feel better that I'm not alone in this, but it's also unsettling that so many other people have had this happen. Theme of the day, don't be an a-hole. How about that? Can we go to that?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. Don't rummage through people's stuff and take anything or not take anything.
That's messed up.
Neither one. Good. Not good. All right. All right. Well, sports now, huh?
You want to go from one fraud to another?
I don't think he's a fraud.
Well, I'm saying the team.
You know what? I'm not going to. No, I don't want to do that because I want to praise winners.
Okay.
I want to praise winners because the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing something that nobody's done since the Portland Trailblazers back in 1977. Danny and Dusty, here's Rust with SportsCenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are headed to the NBA Finals. Boy, they kicked the pants right off those Minnesota Timberwolves last night. That game was not even close.
It was over in the first 5 minutes.
It was. It was a rollover game. And look, everybody wanted Ant Edwards to be more assertive. He was forced up a lot of bad shots early in the game. And they just never felt like they had it. This at the beginning of the series, you said this one could be a big one for Rudy Gobert. Boy, he did not play well in the series at all.
No. And it's going to be very interesting. We can take a little bit of time to talk about Minnesota a little bit later. But like you said, celebrating winners here.
Winners.
The Thunder they came out like a team that was that had their back against the wall, and they were so disruptive, so locked in. Yeah. The goal of put this team away, let's see if we can get a little bit of extra rest. Because the Pacers the next night, the Pacers can win, and you know, it's one night of rest. But if this goes a little bit longer, you can maybe extend that and force, you know, hope that that goes, you know, a little bit better for you. But you take care of business the best as you can. And all the graphics that have come out and all the stats and numbers, the Thunder have almost a 25 point per game margin at home. They're the second youngest team to make the finals on average total age.
Like, hold on. Let's start with what this Thunder team has done just at home in the postseason. They are in 9 home games plus 231 point differential. They've won by 51, 19, 43, 7, 32, 36, 15, and 30. Seven of their 8 games they've won by double digits, and they have won 4 games of the 8 games they have won at home by 30 or more points. They aren't just beating teams. They are snatching their will. In the one game that they lost, Bill Simmons pointed this out, the one home game they lost, game 1 to Denver, they were up by 9 with 3 minutes to go and lost by 2.
Yeah, and Aaron Gordon forces that overtime that on the kickout 3.
It's absolutely insane what they are doing at home especially, but to do it at the age that they are, the average age of that team is 24.7 years old. You said it's second youngest team to ever make the finals, the youngest being the 1977 Portland Trailblazers, which were 24 and a half years old.
Now, if you change it up by average weighted age, they get a little bit older because a guy like Caruso plays a heavier minutes load. Hartenstein plays a little bit more minutes, like those kind of things. But they are incredibly young, and they are kind of defying the model. The other crazy thing about this, I wish I could remember who said it or who caught it. The Thunder are going to go to the NBA Finals. Do you know how many games they lost to the Eastern Conference this year?
1. Yeah. They
on the Mark road Spears, to Cleveland.
Mark Spears said this.
Yeah.
They lost 1 game to the Eastern Conference all season long.
And it was on the road.
Yeah.
They did not lose to an Eastern Conference team at home.
And that was a hell of a game too, that OKC Cleveland game.
Yep.
That I mean,
Cleveland played lights out in that game.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
That's incredible to think about because of the fact that if you want to go and you look at, all right, best record versus anybody. So for comparison's sake, I think the Western Conference next closest record in the Western Conference against the East was 21-9.
Yeah.
Both the Rockets and the Clippers went 21-9 against the Eastern Conference. The Cavs went 23-7 against Western Conference opponents. The Celtics went 22-8. No, like to go 29-1 is insanity. And oh, by the way, that Cleveland team was bounced 2 series ago.
Yeah.
They have got, like, they handled their business against Indiana, handled their business against the Knicks. Granted, they didn't play them a whole heck of a lot, but it's still incredible to do, no matter what.
Yeah, it's what we were talking about with, you know, LSU Shreveport going 57-0, going 29-1 against another conference, and I don't care how down the Eastern Conference is, night to night over an 82-game season, that's tough, man. That's tough, and then you know, we kind of wondered if Denver was going to be the team that pressed them the most. They took them to 7. You know, they really tested them. OKC gets their scars. You know, they get their doors blown off by the Timberwolves, and their, you know, the Timberwolves 1 win in the series. But other than that, they just boat race this team.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the game before was a 2-point game, but it never felt like it was that dire, that much in the balance.
And another incredible series from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, he was Western Conference Finals MVP. He drops 34 in the elimination game last night.
Yeah, 34, 7, and 8 is a ho-hum night.
In the 5 games in this series, he dropped 31, 38, 40, 34.
Yeah.
He was incredible throughout the course of the series, but it's the 8 assists and 7 rebounds to go with 34 last night that just makes it incredible, because he's playing at a ridiculous clip. He backs up his 40-10 in 9 game with 34-8-7. Yeah. He is playing like the MVP right now. Michael Malone was right.
Yeah.
You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is showing why he's the MVP of the league.
He absolutely is, and the big part of this is, and now you've got a couple games in a row where SGA is going to SGA. Like, it's this, he has kind of figured out how to be that guy, which, you know, we'll talk about Ant Edwards in a little bit, you know, having to learn that. He's younger. That's going to happen. But the more important thing is that Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren are finding out how to be the number two and the number three and to fit in and deliver when they need to deliver. And that was the thing that last year did not happen. Hell, earlier in the playoffs did not happen.
Do you find it, I thought this stat was crazy, that SGA is the first player to ever win MVP and Western Conference Finals MVP in the same year?
No, because the Western Conference MVP is still so new.
Yeah.
Or the Conference Finals MVP, the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird Awards.
Well, they renamed them, but they've always had them. You know, like Kobe. Kobe never won one.
They haven't been around that long, I don't think.
I always remember them giving like a Conference Finals MVP. But I don't. I thought that that was an interesting little nuggy there.
No, 2022.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why.
Then that stat sucks.
Yeah, no.
That stat sucks. Don't give me that stat. The only player to win the... So it would have been like him and Jokic were the only eligible players to do it?
Yeah.
All right, never mind. That stat sucks, Stat Muse. Don't fool me with that. Don't give me that. But he has been ridiculously impressive.
No, he has been, and you know, it all depends on which series you kind of get into. You know, if you're talking about like Denver with Jokic, or you know, Giannis when he wins his MVP, like those are the opportunities you have there. You know, you could have a Middleton have a monster series, or a Jamal Murray have a monster series, and end up, you know, getting that redemption or that accolade.
Yeah. Are we not appreciating the dominance of this team, though? We kind of got into that a little bit with how impressive they've been. It doesn't feel like people care that Oklahoma City is doing what they are doing, and they've built it like the way that every team wishes their franchise would, through the draft, through big trades, making big swings, you know, making the savvy moves on the periphery that make you a championship contender, like going out and getting Lou Dort and Caruso and those guys. Like, they've kind of done everything right, yet nobody wants to acknowledge that what they've done is create a monster.
It's very similar to the Celtics, because as great as they are, like Tatum and Brown are incredible players. SGA is an incredible player, but guys just don't mess with them. There's something about them, both SGA and Tatum. It's why I've consistently said neither of those guys will ever be the face of the league. There's just something about them that's missing from like the front man. You know what I mean? It's not that SGA doesn't have style or swagger. It's just he doesn't have the juice. For whatever reason it may be, it's like Tatum. People just don't like Tatum.
And it's not because he's in Oklahoma City, because Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Hell, Russ.
Yeah. But Boston got so much more attention for how great they were.
Well, they did, because it's Boston.
They've always gotten the attention for the way they've built it, the guys that they have, and it was shoved down your throat. Nobody's doing that with this team. Everybody just talks about, well, they've got draft picks for days moving forward, and Sam Presti has just hoarded all the draft picks over the next three drafts. It doesn't feel like there's an appreciation for how good they are, how they got here, and the potential of it, because of the fact that all of these guys are young.
Yeah, 26, really young. 24 and 23 between SGA, Jalen, and Chet.
And the fact that they have all of the draft capital in their history tells you that they're not going to pay all of them in the prohibitive nature of the salary cap, but they've done a really good job of making trades that, when they know that they've hit, boy, they push all in and they go around it. When they make a big trade and it doesn't go well, Paul George, they are willing to just go, no, we'll flip this asset, and we know we have other assets that we can pile on top of it so we can get something back. They have a window to be ultra competitive for a decade.
Did you see the line from Keith Smith?
No.
If the Pacers do indeed win, which I think people are all kind of expecting them to make the finals, you know, they got a 3-1 lead. This will be the first time in the luxury tax era that neither team in the finals will be paying the luxury tax. And I think that's a very, very, very clear marker of what the CBA is dictating.
Yeah. I mean,
how smart you have, you cannot have bad contracts on your roster or big overpays or big disparities because you need to break that up.
I'll tell you what, if only Portland had a guy like Kevin Pritchard and Chad Buchanan. Mm.
And all the work they've done without having a number one overall pick or a number two overall pick or a number three overall pick or a number four overall pick.
Those guys were really good at their jobs.
Yeah.
And the sweetest FU ever on the way out was Luke Babbitt and Armand Johnson in the same draft after you fire him before the draft.
Oh, boy.
Kevin Pritchard, everybody.
Matarino.
But we remember, though, Kevin Pritchard here in Portland, the Pritch slap was a thing. He is savvy. He is smart.
It was
and you know what? He is really damn good at what he does because he makes deals happen. And that's the thing is like, that's why we've had this discussion so often. It really bothers me when I hear general managers say, well, there just weren't deals to be made and get done. No, the good ones, the great ones, the two that are probably going to be in the finals, they make those deals happen.
With
they
each other.
Get them done.
What's interesting, Caitlin Cooper had something I thought that was pretty interesting. She covers the Pacers. If the Pacers do indeed make the finals, which again, presumptive, but very likely, they will both have gotten there trading Paul George.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing, too, is that you have to be willing to give something up to get something back. And both of these franchises have done it. I mean, you have got to be willing to say, hey, we are going to be making a big move here. And it's trust our process. Trust that we know what we are doing because they're good at their job, man.
They would have both traded Paul George and Domantas Sabonis.
Dang.
Kind of crazy.
Where are those guys at?
Not in the playoffs.
Oh. All right. Well, yeah. All right. 503-864-6326. That be the fan text line. We've got a little NFL news here because this may be the sign of the apocalypse for the NFL's next multi-billion dollar venture. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. If you think an NFL division in London, England is a bad idea, this is not a good day for you. Because the NFL's tickets for their London games went on sale today, and fans were shocked when they got on there and they saw the queue was filled with 257,876 people to buy tickets to the NFL in London games. Caveat here, Ticketmaster was running the show. Don't know if you've heard about this, because we've talked about it a lot, though.
Yay.
Ticketmaster said, our techs have spotted some bad actors, and we are working to keep them out. Thank you for your patience. The process is insane. The ticket brokers and third parties, it's gone way too far.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pushing out all of the fans. If ticket prices by the league weren't doing it,
it's all of the secondhand nature of it.
This is making it so difficult to get people into stadiums.
We talk about this with the NFL and the individual franchises that are starting to, you know, they've got tags on their tickets and they can see who's using them and who's not, who's reselling them because they can check all that stuff.
I had a buddy who went to the Masters and he had to check his badge every day that he came and he left and get it scanned. And they were checking IDs, putting it to faces. They were making sure nobody was getting, like, the Masters is a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
But there, if you want to take it seriously, teams,
that's how you do it,
are going to have to crack down on it. But here's the thing about the NFL. Now, some bad actors were in the queue.
Not that
there
many.
Weren't like 200,000 of them.
No. No, the Brits are figuring out the whole football our way is pretty cool.
And the more that the NFL wants to make more and more money, and oh, by the way, that's their business, mm-hmm. the more that you're going to see a tinkering with, we're already seeing more and more games over there. So getting teams used to going over and playing over there. I feel like we are on a collision course, and I've always been against it and have just been like, I don't, this is not a good idea. I could totally see a division being in Europe at some point in the not too distant future.
Two English teams, two German teams.
The game is wildly popular in Spain.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Barcelona was, when NFL Europe was there,
yeah.
It was actually, they actually went to games.
I just know Germany is gone.
Germany is huge. Yeah. And if you go like Munich, obviously mm-hmm. with the United States military presence there, it's big there. Berlin has had a large following in NFL Europe too. But yeah, if you were to go two in England, two in Germany, or just one in each country of England, France, Spain, and Germany. Mm-hmm. I could see something like that happening.
Because geographically, if you've never been to Europe, it's not that far.
Mm-mm.
It's a matter of hours between those countries. It's not a big deal.
They're going to want to make billions more. Mm-hmm. That's how they're going to make billions more.
It's an untapped market. The only thing is, like, you know, do those teams, you know, play half their schedule in their host countries and then spend the other half like living out of a hotel? Like the travel part of that is going to be
probably
nightmare fuel to figure out. But from a selfish standpoint, not going to lie, it'd be pretty dope to go watch the Raiders play, you know, the team in Germany or the team in Spain or the team in England.
Yeah.
Like that would be pretty sick.
That would be awesome.
I mean, like, that would be something I would be down for.
And for teams, we're already seeing this now. Minnesota Vikings are doing it this year. The Jags have done it. Several teams have done this so far. They'll play two games in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and they will just stay there. And so a team plays a London team, then they travel to Germany, stay the week in Germany, play there, and then, boom, they come back, and they have, like, two European games every 4 years or whatever. And that's the way that it goes. Like, we already have it with the divisions and the alignments in the way they're matched up. I don't, from the American standpoint of it, it'd be tough, but at the same time, and it's a huge disadvantage with the time zones. I mean, a West Coast team having to go over there and
that's
play
brutal.
A 6 a.m. game.
It's an 8-hour difference.
I mean, you are it, but this is also what they would love. Opens up another TV window for mm-hmm. them. In a whole nother audience, because well, they get like, numbers on those early morning games.
Not only that, like there are teams that have like so. There's actually the way this stuff is cut up. For those that aren't familiar with the minutia, like you have market rights. Like if you're taking a look at the NBA, like the Portland Trailblazers' market rights go from basically the Oregon border up into Washington and in Alaska. And then they had those rights. Like when they had Root Sports, like you would see, like, you know, Alaska was part of the market window. When Seattle gets a team back, Seattle's going to have to pay the Blazers for the market rights. And now they'll get a discount because of the expansion. They want those things to happen, but they have mm-hmm. to do that. And the same thing in Las Vegas. I think there's something like eight teams that have market rights in Las Vegas, and they're going to split that up when everybody gets the Vegas team, they're going to have to pay all those rights fees for that region and how that breaks out. But that also holds true to international markets. There are teams that have market rights, both in the NBA and the NFL, and you can actually look them up. You can see which teams own market rights in like North Africa or in Europe.
There's two things here. The A's had a stadium deal in place in San Jose. The Giants had the territorial mm-hmm. rights to San Jose and were like, no.
No.
But the NFL global markets, we do have that.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks have Canada. Well, they have BC. If you look at the teams that have territorial rights in Canada, the only outlier here is the Arizona Cardinals somehow. But the Bills,
mm-hmm.
Vikings,
mm-hmm.
Seahawks, Lions,
mm-hmm.
and then the Bengals, too, are kind of an outlier. But the Seahawks have international rights in Canada, Australia, Austria, mm-hmm. Switzerland. Very small country, has a lot of, and I mean they're neutral. Mm-hmm. New Zealand, and that's Germany. They have international rights in six different countries. Mm-hmm. Germany has international rights to the Falcons, Panthers, Lions, Packers, Colts, Chiefs, Patriots, Giants, Steelers, Seahawks, and Buccaneers.
You can tell who's trying to get where.
England, the United Kingdom as a whole, I should say, has, let's see here, nine teams.
And, of course, the Jaguars featuring front and center for that.
Ravens, Bears, Packers, Jags, Chiefs, Dolphins, Vikings, Jets, and 49ers. How have they not gotten into, like, the Vikings being in...
Nordic countries?
Norway. Yeah. Spain is the Bears, Chiefs, and Dolphins. Boy, the Chiefs are really dominating these mm-hmm. countries that love football.
Winning teams. Like when you're trying to get into expanding markets, that's where you go.
Yeah, but it's in Africa, too, as mm-hmm. you mentioned. Like, the Eagles in Ghana, Nigeria, the Cleveland Browns have rights there. It's all over, man. It truly is.
The NFL and the NBA are both trying to dig deep into Africa.
This one is perfect. Guess what team has territorial rights in France? It's a no-brainer.
Who surrenders?
Well, they don't really surrender, but culturally, they fit to a T, including their logo.
I have no idea.
Russ, do you want to take a guess on this one?
I got nothing.
Think of the logo.
I was thinking red, white, and blue.
Think of the team that has a lot of French culture.
Oh, New Orleans.
Yeah, Saints.
That makes sense.
The Saints. Yeah. The Saints are the only team with territorial rights in France.
It makes sense. The Florida League makes sense. It's a natural, cultural.
I don't know, the French Quarter being right next to their stadium.
Yeah.
You know?
You can draw on some cultural ties for sure. Although they don't want
the whole Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah. I mean, even then, I don't know if the French want to acknowledge their Cajun brethren.
Yeah. Well, we'll go die down there. We'll
Tom Segura was right. There. Put a fence around all of the Cajuns.
Yeah, man. But they're great. Mm-hmm. They're great. Yeah, we had Texter got it. All right. 503-864-6326. That's a fan text line. Hour number two, we start. We have kick times, early season kick times. And boy, there's some news with the Oregon Ducks. Three big factors on the early kick times for their regular season. Danny, Dusty on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.